Well, good Lord's Day morning to y'all. It's good to see everyone. Everybody comes like at the last minute, so I don't usually see who all is going to be here. It's always good to get up here and turn around and look and see that people have been coming in since I've sat down, and so it's good to see everyone this morning. I want to direct your attention this morning to Romans chapter 12. Before I get into this, I want to make one other announcement, and that is in regards to my brother. Got good news from him this latter part of this week that he walked with a cane for the first time, and the pain in his leg is greatly diminished, and so we're very thankful for that and trust that he is going to continue to make improvement. He still has a long ways to go. But we're thankful for the many prayers that have been offered on his behalf, and most especially for the answer to those prayers that we quite obviously have seen in the recovery that he is making. Romans chapter 12, and beginning with verse 3, it says, I say, through the grace given to me, through the favor of God given to me, to everyone who is among you. So this is not for one person at the church at Rome, it's for every single one of them. It is to the church at Rome, and yet what he says to that congregation can just as well be said to us. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We live in a day today that we think that that's a problem unique to our generation. It's not. It's been a problem that people have had to deal with from the very beginning. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each of us a measure of the faith. I want to focus primarily on this phrase, think soberly, as God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. I think sometimes people read this, and without rightly dividing the word of truth, they come to a perception that this means that they are supernaturally given a degree of faith from God. Well, we are given a degree of faith from God, but we need to understand what he means here, that God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. We find that the source of faith, God's Word, Romans 10, verse 10, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The source of faith, the Word, is the measure or standard of faith that is available to all and is for all. So God has dealt to each of us. He's speaking to everyone, every member of the Lord's church. And he says that the standard of faith is the same for each and every one of you. God is the source of that measure of faith. He is the one who has determined the parameters of the faith that we are to practice. And I realize, and you realize, that faith is one of those words that somewhere along the line, in our changing of definitions and perception of words, faith has come to have more of a subjective meaning than an objective meaning. God is very clear that when he talks about faith, he's talking about a set standard, his set standard of faith that comes from hearing his word. It's not a feeling. In fact, we find that as we look at the totality of the subject of faith, that faith isn't faith until it works. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, but hearing the word of God is not faith. Knowing the Word of God is not faith. Believing the Word of God is not faith. Faith is not faith until we work what God teaches us to do. And there is a standard of faith that God has given to us. That standard is in His Word. God has dealt to each of us the measure of faith. The individual demonstrations of faith are the result of an individual's commitment and dedication to practice the standard of faith that God has delivered to us. And so we'll see different demonstrations, manifestations of an individual's faith based upon basically two things. Here I've pointed out the commitment and dedication that we have to God and to practice the faith that we might honor Him and glorify Him. And another aspect of this is also the particular talents that we might have. And then using those talents to the glory of God in the practice of the faith. In Galatians 3, in verses 3 and 4, one place where we see this explained, I think it says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own work." We're to examine our work against the standard of the Word of God. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You remember that Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said he upbraided them because they were comparing themselves among themselves. And he says that's not wise. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? We have a tendency to say, well, this is what I'm doing, and that person, they're not even coming close to doing what I'm doing, so therefore I must be okay. No, that's not wise. He says, compare yourself to the Word of God. Examine your own work, and you'll have rejoicing in yourself alone, and not in another. Not comparing yourself to another, but in examining yourself. In fact, here's another passage, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. No one can tell you whether you are or are not in the faith. Ultimately, it comes down to you being honest with yourself and sincere and examining the word of faith, seeing where it convicts you, seeing where it corrects you, seeing where it leads you in paths of righteousness, and you indeed are doing that in your life. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be disqualified? And of course, so many times we go to John chapter 14, and how that Jesus said there that if anyone will believe in me, my Father and I will abide in them. So this is what he's talking about. It's not a personal abiding, but it is a representative abiding by the Word of God abiding in us and demonstrating that fact that we are led by Him, taught by Him, and do those things that He would have us to be doing in our lives. He goes on to say then that we are to think soberly as God has dealt to each of us a measure or the standard of faith, as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So he's speaking here to the church at Rome, the congregation of the church at Rome, and he's saying, you are the body of Christ. And this point is brought out by Paul in several different places in his writings to different congregations, especially to the Corinthians, and shows that indeed, just as your physical body is made up of various different members, so also the spiritual body is made up of various different members. And as your physical body has different functions, so also you see that your individual members of the body of Christ have different functions, different abilities. And we fulfill those abilities to the overall edification and building up of the body of Christ. Last Sunday, we talked about the many things that we have to give thanks for to God. And as I was preparing that lesson and looking forward even to this lesson, I couldn't help but be thankful for the members of the Southside Church of Christ. This has been a difficult year for every single one of us. Many challenges with this COVID pandemic that is upon us. We went from not being able to meet together on Sunday to meeting in the parking lot, in our cars, and overcoming the challenges that were presented there two different ways, and both of them worked pretty good. And now being able to come together into the auditorium for assembly, and even on Wednesday nights now we're having our Bible studies. But, of course, there was a period of time that we weren't assembling for Bible study. And I'm just so, if I can use the word, proud of our Bible class teachers, especially the children classes, who said, well, you know, if we can meet virtually for worship when we weren't able to come together at all, then we can do that with our Bible classes, with the students of our Bible classes. And so they have done that. They continue to do that. Many of them are continuing to do that. They'll have a virtual Bible class with their children this afternoon. And, of course, on Wednesday night, we have an in-person Bible class in our several different Bible classrooms and so forth, as well as the adults out here in the auditorium. We're able to observe that social distancing for now. I think we're going to have to build on back here because our classrooms are kind of small and we're running out of them. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We're coming up on it. Something to think about and get prepared for. I'm just so thankful for our members that even though we haven't been able to be together like we would like to be and as often as we would like to be, and we've had to make so many adjustments, not only in our Bible classes and worship services, we've made adjustments in our even meeting with each other throughout the week and that type of thing. It's been a challenge, but there's been discouragements along the ways, but it hasn't defeated us, and I'm confident it's not going to. But indeed, we do have many members of the body, and we all have our own function, and I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you. It goes on to in verse 5 to say, so we being many, just as our physical body has many different members, so we, a spiritual body, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Notice, you're not individually a member. You know, my hand doesn't do any good if it's just disconnected from my body. I mean, it's still a hand, but it's not providing any function to the body, and it does no good. So also, we can't think of ourselves as an independent member of the Lord's body here at Southside. Every single one of us have something that we can contribute to the edification of each and every other member. And we need to take advantage of that as we have the opportunity to do so. He goes on to say then, and you can consider in that, and I mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, he says, as the body is one and many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So as your physical body is like that, so also is the body of Christ like that. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Of course, one of the problems that they had in the first century was, you know, the Gentiles being brought into fellowship with God through the gospel of Christ, and the Jews trying to overcome their prejudice, the Gentiles trying to overcome their prejudice. And prejudice continues even to our day and age, not necessarily between Jew and Gentile, but between races and social classes and all kinds of things. You say, but we're all one, and we're all made one in Christ by the same gospel of Christ and by, of course, the same Savior. We have all been made to drink into one spirit. One hasn't been taught one thing and another thing. Another one taught another thing. So you see that he's really working off of the same thought process that he has here in Romans 12. He has dealt to each of us a measure or a standard of faith. Very similar to that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13, he says, he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. He gave these things for the equipping of the saints, not to promote the ones who are evangelists and pastors and prophets and teachers. These are for the benefit of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not the edifying of the preachers and the elders and the prophets, when there were prophets and the teachers. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. It's for the building up of the body that we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is only going to happen when we all agree to this measure of faith, this standard of faith, and are educated in it. We rightly divide the word of truth and correctly apply it to our lives. Let it correct us. Let it convict us. Let it make the corrections in our lives that we might serve him and walk before him as he would have us walk before him. So he says then, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use our ministry. Or he who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who lends, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now you'll notice here that there starts to be a change in the list, if you will. The grace, the favor that God has given to us. We are blessed by God with different talents. And that's what he's talking about here. As you are instructed in the standard of faith, and you examine yourself, and you are aware of your talents, and you dedicate those talents to the building up of the body of Christ. In the first century, some had the gift of prophecy, of telling forth the mind of God. Others the gift of teaching. Others the gift of ministering, serving. And that is a gift. Not everyone is real good at serving. But some are very talented at it. He who exhorts, he who warns and encourages, that takes wisdom and insight. Not everybody's good at that, but some people are very good at it. He who gives with liberality, we're all to give, and some have more ability to give than others. But he says, if you have the ability to give, give with liberality and give with cheerfulness and so forth. He who leads with diligence, don't get tired of leading. Continue to lead. Now, what you might notice here is that one may or may not have any of these abilities, but still has a useful measure or standard of faith that they can demonstrate in their life. And that's where this list continues. He says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. God has been merciful to us, will be merciful to us on the day of judgment, I trust and hope in his word. But it becomes necessary for us that as people transgress against us or transgress against the Lord, that and they confess that, repent, make confession that we forgive them and that we extend mercy to them. Not begrudgingly, but cheerfully. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be genuine. Don't say you love someone, but secretly resent them. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. When you hear a lyric to a song that is out of sync with the standard of faith, what is your reaction to that? Do you abhor it? Or do you accept it because of the beat or the tune of the music? When you hear or see something being played out in a movie or a television program that's out of sync with the standard of faith, do you abhor it or do you accept it because, well, it's just the way things are today? It's not the way things should be today. It's not what God wants today. What is your reaction? Your education in the standard, the measure of faith, and your application of it. You know what's evil. Do you abhor what is evil? Do you cling to what is good? Do you cling to the good word of God? Do you cling to prayer? Do you cling to faithful brothers and sisters in Christ? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Are you practicing that standard of faith? As we cling to what is good, let us recognize that being kindly affectionate to one another is part of this standard of faith. Honoring one another, not belittling one another, but honoring one another. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit. The leader was to be diligent in his leadership, but now he's speaking to all of us. We're all to be diligent in our practice of the faith, in coming to a knowledge of it and in the practice of it, being fervent in spirit. You kind of see that word fever in that, don't you? Being hot, you know? It's not being cold to what you've been taught or lukewarm to what you've been taught, but being hot about it, being fervent in practicing the things that the Spirit has taught us. Serving the Lord. We serve one another, but ultimately that service is to the Lord and for the Lord, for the building up of His body that He sacrificed His life for. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And as I read those particular gifts of the Spirit, if you will, that instruction, that measure of faith, that standard of faith that he's talking about here, I can't help but think how they complement each other. That one of the reasons that we continue steadfastly in prayer is because we do have hope. It's not an empty hope. It's a hope that is based upon the promises of God that He hears our prayers and that He answers our prayers. And we know who we are praying to. We are praying to Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible. That when we pray fervently, when we pray believing, when we pray trusting in Him, when we pray with thanksgiving for the answer to the prayer before we've seen the prayer, we have a valid hope that our request of Him is going to be granted. That He is as concerned about that situation as we are about that situation. And so we can be, because of our hope, patient in tribulation. We can endure this COVID crisis, regardless of what aspect of the crisis it is. We can endure any tribulation because we walk with God. And we see the faith of the faithful that lived before us, whether it be in the time of the first century and the church as it was growing, or whether it be even back into those Old Testament stories of men and women of faith who, in spite of great tribulation, demonstrated the standard of faith that was given to them and lived to the glory of God. Distributing to the needs of the saints. I'm going to have much more to say about this in lessons to come here sometime in the future. There's been a lot of talk lately in the media about socialism and that sort of thing. I recently heard a religious leader saying that, well, this is what Jesus and the apostles taught was socialism. Well, we're going to look at their proof text and we're going to show that's not what was taught by Jesus and the apostles. What is taught is we are to use what God has given us to help one another, to distribute to the needs of one another, but we're not under obligation to pull all of our resources together. And you don't find that in Acts chapter 2. It just says that they didn't think of their things as being their own, but they shared what they had with others as the need was there. They didn't all of a sudden become a commune, but we're not going to get into that sermon. But this is just one of those aspects of the standard of faith that's been given to us. That when we see a brother in need, we are to help that need as we have the ability to do so. We are to be given to hospitality. We are to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I find it interesting that he says it that way. It would have been enough, wouldn't it? And the point is made here when he says, bless those who persecute you. Could put a period right there at the end of that. But we say, well, that's not what you mean. You mean everybody who persecutes you? And yeah, everybody. Do not curse them. That's what we have a human, carnal tendency to react, isn't it? To those who persecute us, to curse them, not bless them. He says bless them. Bless them that persecute you. You have to be taught to do that. That requires training. That requires mental discipline. Because we do not naturally react that way. So I think that's why he said the same thing twice there. Do not curse. Bless. Rejoice with those who rejoice. It's a blessing. Are you envious of others when nice things happen to them, or when maybe they get a new car or new this or that, or they get a promotion or what? Are you envious of them, or do you rejoice with them? We are taught to rejoice with them. As we grow up into that measure of faith that we see in Christ Jesus, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Feel the pain of others. Try to ease that pain. Be sympathetic. Be of the same mind toward one another. And I think that sets us up for the next statement here. He says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Be of the same mind towards one another. Whether they be someone who is highly regarded in society, or whether they be someone who is not even thought about in society. Think the same way towards everyone, because every person is a soul that Jesus died for so that they might be saved. They are important to God. They need to be important to us. And one is not more important than the other. I know that I've heard people say that, about people said, well, I don't know why they won't obey the gospel because they just seem to be such good people. You know, certainly they would be saved if they would just obey the gospel. They wouldn't even have to change much in their life. But why haven't they obeyed the gospel? See, what you don't see is what they know and what they're not willing to let go of. That there's some darkness in their life, that they're not willing to let the light of God's Word shed a light on to convict and correct. How do we know which one is which? There's only one way, and that is to share the gospel of Christ with them. But treat all people the same way, with the same respect and the same dignity, without preferring one for another. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Recognize that if you have an opinion, that's what it is. It's an opinion. And everybody's got, like armpits, everybody's got a couple of them. And usually other people's are offensive to you and you and vice versa. Opinions can change. Have you ever changed your opinion about something? When you need to change your opinion, change it. Be humble enough to change it. Repay no one evil for evil. Kind of goes back to what we noticed a little bit ago. Bless and do not curse. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Promote that which is good. Even among those who are evil, promote that which is good by your life. If it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. As we go through our life, we are to live peaceably with all men. Think of the life of Jesus. Jesus never went out looking for a fight. He never went out looking for an argument. Now, we might say that Jesus knew that when he said some things that he was going to get a reaction from those who disagreed with him, who were violently opposed to the things that he was saying. But he didn't say it for the purpose of starting a fight. He always said it, even to those who would not agree with him, he always said it for their salvation. You look at the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and I think you find an example of what I'm saying, especially in light of the fact that Nicodemus would later become a Christian. He said some hard things to Nicodemus. But Nicodemus thought about him and humbled himself and later obeyed the Lord. Live peaceably with all men. You might say things that people don't want to receive, but they're things that they need to hear if they're ever going to be at peace with God. As much as depends on you, be sure that you live peaceably with all men. Don't say something for the sake of starting an argument. If it is possible, even though you might speak words of peace, disharmony might erupt. That's not your fault. speak words of peace anyway. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture. It is one that really requires that we not just read it. It is a passage that requires that we rightly divide and apply it. It is a passage that we need to put into practice so that the standard of faith is not only known, but it is displayed in our lives. Think soberly. As God has dealt to each one of us the standard of faith, it applies to each and every one of us individually. It applies to you, it applies to me. Be sober about it, because one day we're going to be judged by it. Does the Word of God judge you today? Does it convict you today? Are you here today, and as we consider these characteristics, you can say, well, I'm not fulfilling what God would have me to do. Do you want to? Will you live your life to His praise and His glory? Will you practice this standard of faith in your life? Will you turn from your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? We would hope so. We're ready to assist you. All things are ready. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you're out of favor with Him because you haven't been putting into action the things that He has instructed us to do, you need to make correction in your life. You need your brothers and sisters to pray with you and for you. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You're subject to the invitation this morning in any way. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?